Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Welcome back to Having a Real Voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody who kept me in their thoughts and prayers. Miracles do happen, and sometimes you just make it out the other side stronger than ever.
So last week, you had no voice.
None.
You were under the weather and stuck in the apartment for, honestly, like about 7 days.
Yeah, I had my hair cut, and I couldn't even talk to the guy. I said to him, like, I can't talk if we could just not... And he was like, oh, okay.
That was a really good impression of you not having a voice. And now I'm wondering maybe...
If I was faking it the entire time?
The entire time.
Yeah. So it was a false flag operation.
Jeff didn't make it to a whole bunch of events that I went to last week. I went to the A Boogie with a Hoodie listening party. I went to go see NBA Youngboy in concert. I went... there was an Advertising Week event that our friend Nur Özdemir put on. And it was incredible because Pusha T... put on a dope performance, obviously. And you know what's crazy is that, you know, Advertising Week brings out all the suits, all the older white suits who don't normally go to rap events. This is their, like, one time to take the tie off and really, right. You know, sort of let loose.
Yeah, it's like a weeknight warrior.
Yeah, and, you know, I think looking in that crowd during Pusha's set, I think their definition of let loose is to actually yell the N-word along with don't like, for example. And that, to me, in 2017, is still nuts.
Yeah, I would agree, and this never happens to me, but I went to a wedding this weekend. I had my voice back, I went to a wedding, and this guy who I barely know,
right?
Like, barely know, comes up to me, and he's like, oh, you work in rap? Does Jay-Z know you? I go, well, you know, I've met him, but, like, if he ever saw me in the street, he would never know who he was. And so he goes... Yeah, but would you ever walk up to him and say, yo, what up, my... But then he said the word, and I was like, what are you... like? No,
that's
and,
so...
But I was like...
you know, here's something. Let's just do a PSA for white people. Any person who is white out there, don't use the N-word.
Don't use it.
How about that? Like rule number one?
Uh-huh.
Rule number two, three, four, all the rules.
Yeah, every single rule...
Don't say the N-word.
Yeah.
Don't say it in concert with the song. Don't tweet it, Piers Morgan, right? Don't go up to Jeff at a wedding and say that.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, then I'm going to spend the entire time waiting for the wedding to end so I can say something to you.
This is so nuts. Guys, there's so much wrong in the world. This is one of the things. Don't say the N-word. My God. Anyway.
How's your Tuesday going?
Well, you know what I'm excited about? In 1 month,
yeah.
So really it's like 30 days from now, November 2nd in Los Angeles, we are making our headlining concert debut on the West Coast. We will be rapping all of your favorite It's the Real songs. I'm talking about Fire in a Crowded Room. I'm talking about Waco. I'm talking about Sugar High. I'm talking about Girls with the Dirty Souths, Top 135, Dead or Alive. There's a whole catalog, plus special guests, plus an amazing VIP experience an hour before the concert where we invite those VIP to come and do a Q&A and a meet and greet and pictures and all this fun stuff that we did in London. It's going to be an incredible time, and tickets are on sale right now at itsthereal.com, Bootleg Theater, November 2nd. Come hang out with your boys. And by the way, please tell your friends and family about this event. Let's keep the sellout streak going. November 2nd, It's the Real live in concert in Los Angeles.
Okay, I have a question. How many times are we going to say the N-word on stage, though?
Because,
like, we haven't talked about this.
Oh, well, I have it scheduled at zero.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, yeah. I guess. I guess we probably won't say the N-word on
zero
stage.
Zero. White people, don't do it. My God.
And we're white.
And we don't do it.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. When Jeff has a voice, he doesn't say it.
Right.
When Jeff doesn't have a voice, he doesn't say
Definitely don't say it when I don't have a voice.
Man.
Not going to say it when I do have a voice.
Today on the podcast, Jeff, we have...
We have Rapsody. Rapsody, who just released her new album, Layla's Wisdom, on Jamla and Rock Nation. Shouts to Rapsody for coming up here. She was awesome.
She was. And we got into a conversation about growing up in a tiny town of 1,600 people. We talked about the fact that she became class president in high school. We talked about... going to college and thinking that she was going to become an accountant and walk on to the college basketball team.
And how neither of those things happened. Well, how she would sleep on the couch for days on end at Ninth Wonder's studio, just recording hundreds of songs to get something that Ninth Wonder was like, hey, that's the one.
She talks about working with Erykah Badu. She talks about Busta Rhymes.
Her Busta Rhymes stuff is amazing.
It's so good. She has an awesome journey. And talk about somebody who's humble, who's hardworking, and who deserves every bit of credit for this new album. It's Rhapsody. Thanks especially to Young Guru, who was hanging out here during the interview. Thanks to Spanish Ran over at Rock Nation, Carly Hustle and Ninth Wonder, and everybody over at Jamla and The Rock. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up, it's Eric, a.k.a. Keep That Same Energy, a.k.a. Nikola Tesla.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Lauren Uphill, a.k.a. Neo Soul Cycle.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Rhapsody.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but it's the real. Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da. What's going on?
Man, everything's going on.
I know.
Just dropped the album.
Well, yeah, that, you know.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah.
Doing press runs.
That's cool.
Doing shows.
Nike, I know. That.
Eating
yeah.
barbecue with Guru in New York.
Oh, well, yeah. Where'd you get barbecue?
Virgil.
Oh, I didn't know if Guru was at the grill. Like, I didn't know if he was barbecuing.
That's next week. Okay. That's all next right. week. We might send you an invite. Guru don't cook for everybody. You
but
know?
Also, you're from Carolina.
North
so
Carolina.
So you know your barbecue.
Yeah, I know my barbecue, and I'm skeptical of eating barbecue in New York or any kind of soul food.
Are you skeptical if you go to like Oklahoma of their barbecue?
No.
Are you skeptical if you go to like Texas of their barbecue?
Hell no.
Or Kansas City?
Yeah.
Anything above the Mason-Dixon line gets a little tricky.
No, but you know, like people get particular in terms of like the vinegar and like all that, right?
Oh yeah, no, vinegar, barbecue sauce is all good in
Whatever.
Carolina. Yeah, we do it all. Because we're the number one state for barbecue.
Mm, talk about it. Yeah,
Lexington, shout out to Lexington, North Carolina. So we are barbecue state. That's us.
Where are you originally from?
Snow Hill, North Carolina.
Where is that?
That is in the eastern part of North Carolina, about an hour outside of Raleigh.
Okay.
Hour from the coast. So, yeah, really, really small country town.
Yeah. What was growing up there like?
Man, it was country, man. you know, we went outside and then played all day, nothing but cornfields and a lot of woods and tobacco fields. All my cousins worked in the field in the summer to make money.
When did you start smoking?
I stopped smoking. I stopped smoking my senior year of high school, but I really wasn't a smoker. I hung with smokers.
Yeah, well,
I tried to smoke, but I don't know how to inhale. So it's just basically me holding it in my mouth and blowing it out to look cool, basically.
But you did look cool, so, you know.
Exactly.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Oh, I have one brother with 13 months apart. And
older or younger?
Younger, and three older sisters.
Three older sisters.
So
by the time, you know, you get into things, is that easier or more difficult? Like,
it's easier because my mom and dad have had the chance to go through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so by the time they get to me and my brother, it's easy. Like, you know, they're a little bit more lenient. You know, we get in the way with murder a little bit more.
Is that the same with teachers, though? Or teachers like,
I already
know you.
Oh, man, it didn't matter. Like, you're so-and-so's sister, you know. But, you know, I was cool. I gave him no problem. My brother, on the other hand, like, class clown. I'm not gonna say troublemaker. He's definitely the class clown. Like, so smart that he got bored, so it's just like, I'm gonna just do jokes all day.
Did you guys have superlatives in high school, you know, where it's like worst driver or funniest laugh or like started senior slump earliest? Like, I feel like your brother would have won like that.
We definitely had some, but I don't remember what they were.
Yeah. So. We're talking about a town of like how many people exactly?
1,600.
1,600.
Wow, that's like so small.
Yeah, like our high school had kids from the whole county.
Oh my God.
Not just the city, the whole county.
Right.
So, so you're really getting thrown into it.
Yeah.
Because like that's like a lot of, like, you come from,
that's
how long was your bus ride?
That's what she said.
That is what she said. Yo, you can't talk about that because you were talking about like holding things in your mouth, and I was just like, yo,
you missed it. You missed it. You missed the opportunity.
I was taking the high road.
No, I'm all for it. What was the question? I'm sorry.
How long was the bus ride to school?
Oh, man. Probably like, for me, like 30 minutes. What? I was like one of the last ones on the route. So, you know.
Does that mean you're also like the last one to get dropped off?
No, I was the first one, yeah, so yeah, I was good. Last one to get picked up, first to get dropped off. That's perfect. So around there, so yeah, I was good.
Did you have any jobs like in high school?
Yeah, man, I had my worker's permit at 15. I worked at a grocery store by the name of IGA.
Shout to them. They're a proud sponsor of this podcast.
That's right.
Right. you know, so it was a very country grocery store.
What makes a grocery store country?
Man, when the smell of it, mm-hmm. You know, the look of it, what they sell. You know, you got to sell a certain kind of meat wrapped a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things. You walk in and you could put your groceries on a tab. You know, this is definitely like, you know, I don't have the money today. Right, so right. Here's my tab. I'll be back next week. Yep. Right. That will definitely make it country for sure.
Well, how lenient were you, a cashier?
Yes, I was a cashier.
Well, how lenient could you be with the people who had tabs?
It was just kind of manager, like, yo, what you want me to do? Yeah. And he'd be like, yeah, nay. So, you know, that's what it was. You know, we definitely used to swipe groceries.
Okay.
Yeah, just slide those on down.
Again, so, shout out to our friends over at IGA.
Yeah, a lot of friends ate for free. We probably ran that mug out of business. You know, I apologize, God, for stealing.
Was this the only grocery store in town?
At that time when I started, yeah, wow. Yes. I think 2 years after I started there, we got a Food Lion.
Oh, yeah, Food Lion, sure.
Yeah, so.
How many stoplights in your town?
You know I can count them, right? There are probably 7.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so small.
It's 1,600 people.
But Raleigh was the closest big city.
Yes. That was the hour away.
And when you got your driver's license, well, first of all, how many times did it take you?
Two.
What happened the first time?
I got too excited. And he tells me to go in reverse, and I forget to put my hand on the back of the seat. I'm thinking I'm good. I'm just like, backing up. Both hands on the wheel, like I'm just overthinking it. So,
oh, wait,
did you tell the guy that there's nobody else in your town and so that like rules don't really matter?
Yeah, I was like, man, I can back up just like this.
Yeah,
nah,
you didn't hit anything, did you?
No,
oh, okay,
no, I backed up straight. I just didn't, you have to put your hand on the back seat.
That was it.
You have to
do
that.
I don't think that's a real thing.
It's a real thing when you, I know, I didn't pass because of it. I'm thinking I'm good. He's like, all right, we can go on back. I'm like, yes, I passed. He was like, you failed.
Oh.
I was like, what'd I do? So, yeah.
So, when you got your driver's license, were you allowed to, like, you know, go out past 9 o'clock?
When you're in the country, you start driving at, like, 12.
12.
Yeah, so at 12, like, my dad was sending us to the store and to my granddaddy's house, like, 9 o'clock at night, me and my brother. It was easy. So, by the time I got it, you know, I was everywhere. That's but I got it suspended for 30 days.
What happened there?
I got, like, four tickets in 2 weeks. I have a heavy foot, man. Yeah, I was out the road hot, you know. In the country, it's nothing but road and woods, so you're going to hit 80 on back roads. You're just going to do that. Like.
So this was 80 in a...
In a 55. No. 50, yeah. 55.
In the school zone.
That's right, yeah.
Right. No, I got a couple of the 55s and the 35s, you know.
Suspended for how long?
30 days, as long as 30 days of my life. So I think I tried to steal the keys back from dad. Yeah, yeah. I can't take it. I got to drive. But nah, it's cool.
So what was going on in Raleigh at that point?
I didn't start really driving to Raleigh like by myself till I moved. Mm-hmm. You know, I would drive for my dad just to get practice of driving in the big city or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't until I went to college where, you know, I had to figure out Raleigh. I got lost my first year so many times. Like I remember one time I went on a date. And he was taking me home, and we were going in the wrong direction. But I was so embarrassed to tell him, like, I don't know where I'm going. I let him drive, like, 45 minutes out the way. Like, and I called him, and I was like, yeah, I think you're right. We are going the wrong way. Like, but, you, hey, spend time. Get to know me.
Was there a follow-up date?
Yes. Oh, there was one, but there wasn't one after that. No. But you know, I got the slide in the DMs right. These days. They slide back in the DMs. Hey, big head, no. You know.
Nope.
Saw your video. Nope. That's what's up.
Nope.
Yeah.
Put your hand behind the, you know, thing.
Sorry,
put
like
reverse.
7
yeah.
years yeah. too yeah. late, yeah. bro. Yeah.
But did you have fun in high school? Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, I had a great time, yeah. man. Great time in high school. Like, I'm the person that wakes up on 100, like, hey, everybody, what's up? So, you know, I was, you know, just popular kid in high school. I was class president. I was in really? All activities, played you know, basketball, ran cross country, did Students Against Drunk Driving, all of that. Like, you know, I hung with everybody.
You, you were all American.
You were the nerd. Like, it didn't matter if you were sitting at the lunch table by yourself. I was the person that sat down with you. Like, what's up? Like, you know.
Got along with the teachers.
Everybody, like, man. Everybody. Principal, it don't matter. Like, that was me. Like, I'm just, I was just having fun. So.
What position did you play on the basketball team?
Point guard. Point guard and shooting guard, yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on now.
I was super. I was for real. Listen, I was nice. I was good.
So basketball is big in North Carolina.
No, for sure. So you're the only high school in town.
Yes.
where do you have to go to play another team?
Oh, we had to go. It was usually a 20 to 30 minute drive wherever we went. Didn't matter. The next city, though. But they're all country. We're just the smallest of, you know. But it was 20, 30 minutes everywhere.
How'd the team do?
My year, we did good. You know, we came in second in the conference. We made it to the second or third round of the playoffs.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
And when you were running for president of the student body, who was your competition? Like, were there a bunch of people, or was it just, like, one person?
No, they were probably maybe, like, four people. Yeah, that
was
I can remember.
Or?
I don't remember. I mean, all I know is I won.
What was your stance on immigration?
Everybody's welcome. Welcome.
So, by the time that you're getting ready to graduate, did you know where you wanted to go to school? Did you apply to, like, a whole bunch?
I applied to two schools.
And both in-state?
Yep, both in-state. I knew where I wanted to go, but where I wanted to go was Duke. It was private. I didn't really apply for any scholarships. I was like, Pops ain't gonna pay for this.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it was ECU, East Carolina University, and NC State. And I chose NC State because it was Raleigh, a bigger city than what I grew up
there
in.
There you go. Go Wolfpack,
My
right?
sister went there. I was good at math. They had a good accounting program. And my sister told me, like, I go to all these dope hip-hop parties. So I was like, that's where I need to be. That was it.
When you're graduating high school, where's your mind at in terms of, like, what you want for a career?
Man, I think I always knew I wanted to do music, but growing up in North Carolina, small country town, like, I didn't believe it could happen. So, you know, I wanted to play in the WNBA. I'm 5'3". I go to a small school. Like, you don't have that platform to be recruited. So it's just like, I'm just going to go to school for accounting and just see what happens. And I hated it. I hated it. But,
right,
you know,
away?
I found music. I didn't really get into it until my junior year. And I felt like, I hate this so much. I want to do music. I said, I'm going to transfer to NYU.
Yeah.
And then I saw those out-of-state tuition. And I was like, nope, I'm going to stay right here.
Well, you could have been like a scammer. You're just like, yeah.
Right. How do you scam that?
I have no idea. I feel like there are probably ways. Kids are so smart these days.
I know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, this was different.
Yeah.
Internet, we were still figuring it out, man. Like, we were just getting into Napster and Black Planet good, and I didn't know how to work Napster then.
Wait, okay, yeah. So you downloaded music via Napster?
No, because I didn't know. I really honestly didn't know how to do it.
Have you figured it out now?
Eventually in college, I did figure it out, but I still bought CDs, man. Like, I was just that one. I was like, now I'm going to buy mine.
What were you listening to back then?
Oh, in college? Man, in college, Joel Santana was big then, you know, Cameron. Mm-hmm. So we were bumping that. But I was listening to, like, a lot of Mos Def and Common and Talib Kweli and Jay, like the classic albums. Definitely Lil Brother. Lil Brother was big. You know, Usher, Confessions. Boy, I ran that into the ground. Let me tell you about, that Common B, like, those were the records I was bumping.
And were you moving around? Were you traveling to, like, other cities in college?
No.
Just in North Carolina?
Man, I worked. Man, I was a kid that had a part-time job at a sneaker store. I never went on spring break.
Really?
Didn't stay on campus. Like, I stayed on campus for a week, and I was like, nah.
Whoa.
I picked the wrong dorm.
Yeah.
I went and stayed with my sister.
Wait, was that your roommate's fault?
No, my roommate was cool. I just think, you know, it was just different for me.
Yeah.
You know, being in a small town and then going, you know, being grown up around family so much and a certain type of culture you like, and then you get in the dorm and you don't see anybody that looks like you in the whole dorm. It's like, nah, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. So, but I regret it, though. I wish I would have giving it a little time.
But you lived with your sister.
Yeah.
Just near campus or 20 to 30 minutes away?
Five minutes. We're in the big city now.
Yeah. By the time you're like 2 years into college, you're over math. You're over accounting.
Over it, dog. I'm over it. They can have it.
And like, what's the move at that point?
Music. At the time, like, I'm working in Foot Action, hustling sneakers.
Yep.
And I meet my best friend who goes by the name of Charlie Smarts. And he's like, yo, we both like hip-hop. Let's start this hip-hop organization on campus. So we're on campus doing free shows. I'm hosting rap battles. I'm doing spoken word. Like, we're doing all these crazy events. And one summer, you know, they're just in there recording music. And Charlie goes, I know you want to rap, and I know you secretly write. So quit being a punk and just come on. Like, we're not going to judge you. And, you know, I got in there and I did the first two songs and that was it. Like,
well, that's what's interesting, too, is that, like, usually you have like right brain or left brain people. Right.
Right.
But it sounds like you got both.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you look at music mathematically?
What do you mean?
I mean, per se. Like, you're really good at math, right?
Yeah.
And there is that technical aspect of stuff where you just like stay on, and then there's mm-hmm. like that like thing where it's just intrinsic, and it's mm-hmm. like, you know, the more poetry side of you, yeah. the more like, you know, writing based and creative, mm-hmm. and you know, that's like the more J Dilla, like,
real
you
loose
know, thing.
Yeah, where
you're a little behind, you don't have to be technically like right. on right.
I think my perfectionism comes with the math side, you know, of wanting to get it right and for it to be like, yo, this got to be perfect. But at the same time, I'm able to like let go and just be creative and loosen it, you yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, I guess a little bit of math comes in because I like to draw too, so it's just like, oh, these colors got to be right. Like, I could never see myself doing a Basquiat painting.
Yeah,
like if I had did that, I'd be like, this I can't do this. Well, this doesn't make sense to me. So I think, yeah, in a way, like, it definitely plays into the art in right. some way.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you're in this collective,
Cooley High, mm-hmm. yeah,
when Charlie encouraged you to become like an artist, mm-hmm. how hard was it to convince you?
It wasn't hard, only because I loved it. I knew it was something I wanted to do. Like, I think I always had a vision, like, I want to do it. I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen. Was like, yo, I don't even know where to start. And that's when your knife just comes in the picture, you know.
But even before that, though, had you had a chance to tell your parents, you're like, yo,
no,
classes in college are not it.
No,
and
no.
I want to be this, you know, creative.
Definitely not.
I want to be a creative accountant. I want to spread my wings.
Yeah, no, like, my parents didn't figure out, like, I was doing music, I think, to like, maybe my senior year. And they came to, like, a couple shows. And I think I only invited them because we did, like, this documentary with Cooley. And they had this big film screening. So I had to invite them.
Wait. So they show up for the screening and yeah. they're watching this movie that you're in. And they find out that you...
Well, I mean, they didn't... I don't think they knew how serious it was. Like, when I first started rapping, my cousin ended up telling my mom by accident that it was happening.
Which cousin?
My cousin Ralph.
Yo, Ralph.
Yeah. So he's in the house listening. And she's like, what you listen to? My mom loves music. He's like, Marlena. She's like, Marlena who? You know, straight. And she's like, let me listen. And
there's only one Marlena in a town of 1,600. So
that's kind of how it was. But, you know, once, you know, college was over, it's like, you going to get a job? And I'm like, yeah, but in my head, I'm like, it's like, yeah, but, you know, you're saying, yeah, but your head's like, right. no. Right. So, you know, I dipped and dodged those questions as long as possible. And they just figured it out. Like, yo, she's really not going for this accounting thing. Like, she's not going to do music on the side. Like, it's not going to happen. And it was tough, boy. Like, yeah. they were on my back. Yeah. Like, there were times I didn't even want to answer the phone. But it's like my mom. There are two people that I, no matter what I'm doing, I answer the phone for. That's my mom and dad.
Oh, I thought it was us. Like, you were going to be like,
yeah. I need your numbers. But yeah. So there were some times like I don't even want to answer the phone, and then you got your older sister, and if anybody has siblings, like, you know, the oldest one is like the parent, like they really protective, so she was on my back too, and it's just like, yo, I'm gonna go crazy
because you don't want to hear that.
No, right? No, not when you're going for something and that's hard, right. Like, shit.
Okay, so tiny town.
Yep.
Like, ambitious dreams.
Big dreams.
Did you graduate from
NC State?
NC State?
I have one class left.
One class left?
They don't know that.
You think they're listening now?
Nope. Yo, that's why I say it.
You think Ralph's and his fucking big mouth is going to tell them?
Yeah. Ralph knows the rules now. I have one credit left to go, and I didn't finish it because financial aid ran out, and I think I had the money, but I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to pay it right now. So,
one more time. Small town.
Small town.
One credit short of graduating.
One credit.
And the biggest dreams in the world.
Yep.
You're part of this collective.
Cooley High.
And how is everybody sort of like seeing the road out, like, you know, the road past Tobacco Road? Like, how do you get to New York City, or how do you get to the mainstream? How do you get that big opportunity?
Before Ninth in the picture, mm-hmm. like I learned a lot from them. You know, Charlie was his parents did music when he was growing up, and he was also in another band by the name of Influential, who Tab One, who ended up being in Cooley High, was also a part of. So I'm just kind of learning from them, and everybody's feeling from the dark. Like, Charlie went to school for marketing, so he's applying that. You know, I had the accounting degree. I used to keep the money records.
Well, you don't have a degree, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a degree. You're right. I'm so used to telling that story.
It's only facts in this podcast. Right. Yeah.
Facts. I don't. I have a 99% degree. 99.
Listen, if Jeff had your number, he would call you out. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying.
99%. But I have this accounting background, a little knowledge in accounting. So, you know, Charlie's adding the marketing. And, you know, they're just feeling in the dark and just seeing what sticks. Yeah. And, you know, they did good at it. You know, we would have shows in Raleigh, and we would sell out, you know, a little small 300 venues. That's but that's dope. Good for some college kids just
for
starting.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
where
you know.
Put your music at that point? Because this is before streaming.
Yeah, this is way, like MySpace
CDs.
Was banging. Yeah, we used to, you know, go, I would sit on the computer all night and burn CDs as they would, and we get markers and write on them and go pass them out. That's a lot of, we'd be on college radio every night, you know, whether it was NC State or we go to Duke Radio or Chapel Hill, you know, like, but the CD thing, like, you know, we passed out a lot of CDs and, you know, and one of the guys, Tom Foolery, was shadowing Ninth Wonder. So, you know, we got to meet him through Foolery, and you bring that into the picture. That's a wealth of knowledge. So Ninth heard my first two songs, and he was like, yo, you're a star. You just got to work on some things, and I'm going to help you. Like, and that's
what you say? Yes.
Come on, man. What you mean? I was like, me? So, you know, I couldn't even wrap my head around it that he said it. Like, these are my first two songs.
So that means the world to you, right? Like,
yeah.
You were like, in his presence. He tells you that you're the one and, you know, keep going. Mm-hmm. How do you bring that home and then, like, explain that to, like, anybody else?
It's tough because we know Ninth and we know the legend that he is, but your family watch TV and radio and they don't see his face there, so they're like, who is Ninth Wonder? So, you know, but, you know, it's just having faith and being patient, man. Like,
who was the biggest, like, success story to come out of your high school?
Oh, man. Blue Edwards. He played in the NBA in, like, 80s maybe. Like, he's the biggest success story on that end. Next to that,
yeah. You're told to, like, you know, you got something,
mm-hmm.
keep going. What's the next step then?
That's rap camp with Ninth Wonder. That's next.
How do you get the invitation to keep going back?
Oh, I mean, you know,
was it outright or were you just like,
if you ever meet,
if
you, nah, we got invited for sure. I mean, there was sometimes, like, you know, that's when people would instant message IM each other, and Tab might see Ninth on and be like, yo, it was Christmas one time. He's like, he's joking. He's like, let me get some beats. And Ninth sends two beats and says, Merry Christmas. And we do these songs and Ninth loves these songs. So we're building this really good relationship. So now, like, I'll be at work at Foot Action and I'll get a random call. Like, I got my cell phone in my pocket. I ain't supposed to. And I'm looking at, I go upstairs and answer the call. Look at the text. It's like, yo, Knife just called and told us to come to the studio. So I'm going to my boss. Like, I gotta go. I'm out. like
was your boss understanding?
Yeah, he definitely worked with me. Yeah, he was like, I get it, go ahead, or like I'm a lie. I'm just like, yo, family emergency, I gotta go.
Right.
Like, and that's what it was. So, you know, he would randomly, it'd be random, call us to the studio, and it always wouldn't be just for us to make music, just us to be in his presence and watch him make beats to work with somebody else. And, you know, then he starts teaching at North Carolina Central and gets his own studio. And now it's 10 or 15 kids up there every day, like, fighting to get on a Ninth Wonder beat. And then he starts a label. So
while you're in there and you're still part of this group, mm-hmm. when do you feel like, you know, maybe you're there to sort of advance yourself?
Man, I knew it the first day that he told me that he for my first two songs. Like, this is before all of that. Like, when he was like, you're a star, I knew then, like, I'm trying to advance and be better and just learn. So, you know, when he started the label, I reached out to one of his best friends who was trying to do the management thing at the time. I was like, yo, I'm looking for a manager, somebody to help me. I'd really love to sign with Ninth Wonder. He's like, well, let's set up a meeting and talk about it. And then I went to the studio, and I closed the door. We talked for 10, 15 minutes. He was like, love to have you. Bam.
Easy as that.
Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, that's what it was. And I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was just me. Like, you know, however you can help me, however I can learn, like, I just want to be under you. Because, one, you were the first person to believe in me. Two, like, I know your love and passion for the culture. You're fucking Ninth Wonder. Like, that was all I took, and it was me with a bunch of guys, and I wasn't the best rapper in the room. I was probably, out of 20 rappers, I might be like 19, like, in skill at this time. So, you know, it was a lot of humbling, and I didn't have an ego. Like, it's just like, yo, just go in and work, you know.
What kind of hours does Ninth have?
Oh, man. Crazy hours. Like, he would teach and then come, you know, fool with the kids. He might leave the studio one night at 10, he might leave the studio one night at 3 a.m. But, you know, I would always be like, I'm staying longer than he is, no matter what. So I would be in there sleeping. Yeah, I would sleep. I'd get up at 6 in the morning, go put on work clothes, go to work, come back, you know.
And how often were you recording?
Every day. He called me a studio rat.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, like, I go every day and I would stay all night. Some nights I'd be up till 5 and just go to work with no sleep. Sometimes I might curl up on the little chair and go to sleep. Like, every day I recorded 100 songs before I put out my first mixtape that would never see the light of day. Like, and that's just the first mixtape. Like, you record 100 songs that'll never be used in your first mixtape. You start new. Like, that's rap camp.
Did he give you homework?
Yeah. I had homework. That after the first time I met him, I had to work on my cadence and my flow and my inflection and breath control. Like, I had a lot of homework. Yeah, yeah. So he picked like 10 albums, man. And he was like, yo, listen to these, but don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to how they're saying it.
Like what?
Like, you know, and instead of like focusing on lyric and wordplay, which I already had, it's like, let's say take the Black Album, for example, like how he wrote the beat, because mm-hmm. my flow was like all over the place, like I was switching in weird places. So it's like, ride the beat, you know. He did an example, like the ABCs of your phone number. Like, when you give out your phone number, you don't be like 9 1 7 8 4 9 2 3. Like,
that's Eric's number.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a psychic too. Cleo. it is in a rhythm, you know, like 916 648, and then so it's like, when you rhyme, you gotta listen to music, like, what's the rhythm, how they rhyme the beat, what pocket it catches. So it took me a while to figure out exactly what that meant.
Yeah,
like,
you're
so that was my homework.
You're an accountant, or almost an accountant.
Yeah, almost 99%.
So the Black Album.
Yeah, so it's Black Album. What are their albums?
And Black Album, Midnight Marauders, let me think. Man, Snoop, Doggy Style. Let me see. I can't remember, but those are three. Yeah.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I listened to Black Album. That was the only one I listened to, though.
Well, yeah. That was like, you were buttering him up. You were just like, hey, like,
he gave me
the
10.
Production's really like, good on here.
I was like, I listened to Jay all day. So I ain't listening to none of those other ones. I couldn't help it. Like, I'd be in the shower. Like, I listened to it so much, I would sit in the shower and I'd start from the first song to the last of Black Album, and I knew all the lyrics.
Yeah.
Were you doing, like, the interludes, too?
Was I? No. Nah. You know, water get cold on you.
were your friends riding around with you, like, again? Like,
I only did it by myself. I didn't put them through that torture.
So you're in the studio, you're recording a ton of songs.
Ton of music. That's good.
Are there any that you got, like, real attached to and you're like, yo, this is great, and then he's just like, keep going?
Oh, man. I had days like, for those frustrated days, like, I still don't got it, but yeah, I tried so hard. Yeah, like, yeah. What am I doing wrong? Like, dog, I had so many of those days. He'll tell you, like, I get so frustrated myself, I cry. He'd be like, nah, it's okay. I'm like, I'm trying. I don't get it.
Did any of the beats that you really loved go anywhere else?
Oh, yeah, like, because I wasn't killing him, so other people definitely got him. And you know, you're like, damn, he killed it, but I wish I had that beat. But, yeah, you know, I got some good beats now. So it all works out.
So what's the first song that does come out?
That comes out? Hondo Core Music.
And mm-hmm. how'd you know that that was the one?
Knife said it was the one. Yo, I followed his lead, like... You know, that's me. Like, I'm gonna approach my music in a really realistic way. Like, if you say it ain't right, I'm not gonna argue why it is. Like, all right. You know, so he said it was dope, and that was the one we went with.
And what did that song mean to you?
I mean, it meant it was good. Like, oh, okay, I finally reached a point where I'm good enough to put something out into the world, and I have my first project. So I'm like, I'm on cloud nine. Like, I'm thinking, yo, if people love it, like, it's gonna, whoo, we're gonna go. And he's like, you don't really understand the process coming in, and you don't know anything about the business and how it works. But I'm excited. I'm just like, yo, I got my first mixtape. I'm rapping over Ninth Beats. I'm on Ninth's label, like, first
you're
song.
Here. Right, yeah.
But Honda Core Music, it was just a fun record about my first car, you know.
Did you, as, oh, hold on. This is our brother Dan, by the way.
Hello, Dan.
Guru, have you met Dan?
Oh. How are you doing?
Rapsy, this is Dan.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Oh, so all y'all live together?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like growing up home.
Yeah. Cool. As class president, did you speak at your graduation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So my thing is always, I find it so funny that, like, a 17, 18-year-old speaks at their graduation, like, thinking they know everything, right? Like, you're just like, oh, I made it, and we're all going to be great, and we're all going to go into, like, great things I believe in.
I did not give that kind of speech.
Oh, okay. What was your speech like?
Well, the valedictorian and salutatorian, they give those long speeches. Like, as class president, you know, my joint's a little shorter, more direct. I'm introducing the valedictorian and salutatorian. So, you know, I just sprinkle a little bit, like, we made it.
Yeah, you know,
I didn't have to go
into
depth too much.
After parties at my
house.
You know what I'm saying?
I led the tassel turning. Yeah, that's my duties.
Yeah. But much like the valedictorian, salutatorian, like, who give speeches that are, like, you know, big and grand and everything and think they know everything, like, you putting out your first project, were you in that space? Were you just like, oh, I mean, any second?
No. No, no.
So you were good with the process.
I'm good. Yeah, I was good with it. I was, like I said, realistic. Like, that's just me. Like, I studied Jay and all these people so much. I'm just like, I know I'm good enough, but something's missing. Like, you can hear it, you know, even though you get like, my first mixtape, I thought it did good. Like, we did 10,000 downloads on DJ Booth. And for me, like, oh, that's shit, you know.
Yeah.
That's dope. But at the same time, it's just like, I knew something was missing. I just didn't know what or how. And, you know, but you celebrate every win. You know, you just take it a day at a time. And it's just like, Knife, too, is good at giving constructive criticism where, you know, it's not like you're whack. It's just like, we got to figure out some things, you know, just keep working. So that's kind of what it was.
So he was in for the long haul.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like,
if you listen back to your first project now, what do you hear?
I can't. Oh. I can't even listen to it. He plays with me sometimes.
Do you not know the hot new hip hop link?
I come to the studio and he's just like, remember this? I'm like, turn it off, man. My voice is all high pitched and it's like, it's crazy. But yeah, I don't even go back and listen to it anymore because I nitpick it and it's just like, it's not good. But it wasn't that bad. It's just voice tone was probably the biggest thing, and sticking to a consistent cadence. Like, those were my two biggest things.
I know you're a huge Erykah Badu fan.
Yeah, I love Erykah Badu.
So I feel like we're around the same, like, this is going the next step, which is that you end up on his compilation,
Nive's compilations. Yeah, this is, Wonder Years came out 2011, so at this point I'm like two mixtapes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, but you end up on a song with
Erykah Badu, which, and at that point I was like, oh, it's about to be something.
Well, also for, like, any relatives who were just like, oh, you're doing music, that's cute. Like,
yeah.
Was this something that was, like, a stamp of approval?
Yeah, it was something people were excited about. You know, mom is still, it's not till you bring home a nice little check and you can feed yourself mm-hmm. off of what you're doing, or they see you on TV or in a magazine where it really, really hits. It's okay. Like, okay, you're on a song with Erykah Badu. Good, I'm proud of you.
Right,
how you
right.
gonna eat? Yeah. You know, so
you're like, I'm gonna steal something from the grocery store.
Right,
yeah.
right. So that's kind of what it is, because I'm still oodling, noodling it up. Yeah, and McDonald's dollar teas. You know, yep. That's where we at.
The Badu thing happens. How'd you approach it?
Man, I was so scared to write that verse. Like, I probably wrote it 15 times, and I wasn't getting it right. Like, the cadence that I was writing wasn't right, so I write it, and then Nive had to tell me, like, yo, this is the cadence, and he had to mumble it, so I had to go fill in the words, and, you know, I keep writing it until I get it close enough, you know what I'm saying? So that was like, I'm going to get kicked off the song, you know, but he stuck with me on it, so, you know, that's just what it was.
Well, how did he tell you that Erykah was on, like, did you knew that Erykah was on the song before you started writing?
Yeah, I mean, it was 20 feet tall, and originally the version on Nive's project was the original version of that song, but Erykah had it replayed and, you know, changed for her version on the album, so her version came out first, and Nive was like, I'd still like to use my version. Cool if I remix it and put it on my project. You know, she gave him his blessing or whatever, and he was like, I'm going to put you on a song with Erykah Badu, because, you know, like we were talking about today, like, you know, with all the success from the album, you know, he's like, this is the vision that I've had since the first day I met you. Like, I knew at some point it was going to get to this. So him putting me on the Erykah Badu song was strategic for him. It was, let me start this early seeding of introducing you to people and putting you in the lane with someone like Erykah, because y'all aren't too far removed.
Yeah.
So it was something that, it was chess for him. Like, you know, he's looking 5-10 steps down the road. So me, I'm just like, I'm happy to be on a song with Erykah, you know what I'm saying? And it probably was too, like, it's important. I think he thought it was important, like, let me give you these little rewards just to keep you saying, because the process is going to be long, like, the journey is going to be long, so, you know, here, get on this song with Erykah Badu just to give you something to champion, like, oh yeah, I've
right like
that.
A mile marker,
right?
Yeah.
Right, so it's like, keep going, you know.
Do you understand, looking back now and speaking, like, the words out of your mouth, how unusual this relationship is? Like, you're given somebody who's willing to, like, do this for the long term,
mm-hmm.
and you're also humble enough and strategic enough to give it that time that he's letting you have. Like, this is so, like, not the norm.
God's design, man. It's crazy how things work out, how they work out. Like I say, like, you know, I couldn't went to ECU. Like, I could have, you know, I remember one time I went, Coach K. Yao was coaching at NC State, and I met her, and I was like, do y'all take walk-ons? And she was like, yeah, just come to my office. She was like, where'd you go to high school? And I told her, and she was like, I think I've seen you play before. Come see me. I could have went and see her. I'm sure I honestly believe I might could have walked on, but I didn't go for whatever reason. I didn't go the next day. That was a big dream. I just didn't go. And I think about it, like, my brother-in-law knew Nive before he and my sister got married. But before I started rhyming, I tried to make beats for a week. You know, I was like, I don't know if I can rhyme, but maybe I can make beats. A music business place was going out of business, so I bought like this $70 beat machine, and I'm terrible with electronics.
Yeah.
So I couldn't figure it out. So my brother's like, yo, my homeboy Nive Wonder makes beats, he can show you. I was like, nope. That's not gonna happen. Like, And I'm thinking, like, you know, I passed up that opportunity to meet him. I sold him a pair of sneakers, but I didn't say anything because I was too nervous at the time. And for whatever reason, like, we met in my homeboy's crib listening to my first. Like, I don't know why things happen the way they happen. So it's just like it was supposed to be that way for whatever reason. Like, I don't know.
So, okay, so you get the Badu thing, and afterwards you felt?
I was on cloud nine. Yeah. I was like, bro, I'm on a song with Erykah Badu. Like,
yeah,
come on, man. Like, you know, I've been rhyming at this point for, seriously, like 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm only on 2 mixtapes. I'm super wet behind the ears. And for him to put me on a song with Erykah Badu, and for her to be like, yeah, it's okay to do that, like... I'm like, yo, like this, I can do it, you know, though I have so far to go.
Hello, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, San Diego, San Francisco, Bakersfield, Eureka, anywhere up and down the West Coast. Eric and I are coming out there on November 2nd to perform at the Bootleg Theater to hopefully extend our run of sold-out events. We did a sold-out event in New York. We did another sold-out event in New York. We did one in London, and now we are coming for the first time to Los Angeles, to the West Coast. We will be performing all of our hits, all of our not hits, all of our sort of hits. Are those hits? We will be there doing everything on stage. We're talking about bringing out special guests. We're talking about doing bits. We're telling stories. We're taking pictures. We might remember your names if you tell them to us several times. We will be there on November 2nd, Bootleg Theater. Come get your tickets today at itsthereal.com.
Listen, if you're coming in from like Alaska or North Idaho or Texas or somewhere else, if you fly in, if you let us know ahead of time, we will bring you on stage. We will plug whatever podcast you have, whatever mattress you're trying to sell, whatever shaving product that you are trying to hawk, we will bring you up on stage. We'll do a live commercial with you.
Right. You know how there's Complex Con? Well, this is going to be our Complex Con, where we are just having you up there to sell your products.
That's
at
right.
Our show.
Guys, itsthereal.com for your tickets. Get the general admission ticket or get the VIP experience, which will let you in an hour early to hang with us and do a Q&A session like Jeff was talking about. It's going to be a hell of a show. Los Angeles, we will see you on November 2nd. And now, back to the podcast.
You know, I had been performing with Cooley at this time. So, you know, I was still, at this point, I'm still in Cooley High. We're still doing shows while I'm doing my solo thing. So I'm doing more Cooley shows than I am Rhapsody shows.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm definitely performing. And performing was easy for me. Like,
do you close with the Badu verse? Like,
no, I never performed that song.
Never?
Nope, never. I've never performed that song.
Do you want to do it now? Just like a quick
I don't know it. Hit Rap Genius and tell me what the lyrics are.
So what's the next big step for you? Where does that sort of like turn come in?
Man, it's kind of like, what's the next project? At this point, it's like I say, it's rap camp. Like, we just turning out music, recording every day. And it's just like, Naive tells us, like, you got to keep putting out music. That's the thing. Like, it's the internet, people's attention slow. Like, just keep putting out music. So that's our thing. Like, work, work, work. And any little victory we had, we celebrated. Whether it was Ali Shaheed, Muhammad tweeting us like, yo, I like this song. It's like, woo, I'm leaving work early again. Like, yo, Ali
Family
Shaheed,
emergency.
Muhammad
yeah.
tweeted me. Like, I for real left work when he tweeted me that day. Like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's.
Did the notification, like, show up on your phone?
Yeah.
Did you look at it like a million times? Like,
I did.
Yeah.
And Knife called me. Again, phone in pocket. I definitely answered it. So, you know, I think I can't even tell you where my mind state was, but all I know is like I always felt like it was in reach. Though it was still far, you feel like it's still close.
But what was it? Like, what were you striving for? Was it, like, a major label deal? Was it to be on, like, a magazine cover?
A bed of money?
All of, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, I think at the time, it for me was to live off of it, you know, like, to get my parents out of my ear. It wasn't like I need this certain amount of money, but at least I don't want to have to share this 4-pack nugget meal with my homies every day.
Yeah.
You know, to tour, you know, consistently, to get recognition, you know, and the respect.
Yep.
I think that was kind of it for me, like at least to get to that point. You know, so, and you see hints of it coming, you know, but you don't see how long the journey is. You just got to put your head down and believe in it and go. Like, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Like,
and were you getting good press looks at this time?
Blogs. I mean, we get some blog look. DJ Booth and Two Dope Boys, like, big supporters since day one. And then you might, you know, I got my first magazine article in The Source. So there's a picture of me holding it up. Like, Nice was really good about, you know, making sure, like, when we had those things, we celebrated it. And he made it feel like, yo, this is a moment. Like, cherish, like, be proud of this moment. And you look back and it's like, wow, I still have so far to go. But I just remember appreciating that moment because it wasn't guaranteed. Like, and that's just what it was. That's awesome. Like, yeah.
That's really dope. What was your first time to New York like?
Man, my first time in New York, like, out for music or just in
for
general?
For music, yeah, yeah.
For music.
Or in general.
I think my first time to New York for music was the first time I met you, Guru. Knife took me to Rock the Mic. No, that's not my first time for music, because I went to Baseline before that. What was my first time in New York for music? I know. I went to see Pete Rock.
But
it wasn't for me, though. But, you know, Knife and Buckshot were working, and, you know, Knife used to let us tag along. So it's not for me, but I'm in the music space. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just in the studio with Pete Rock, watching him make beats. And, you know, I think another time, again, was going to Baseline and meeting Guru for the first time and being in Baseline. Like, those were some of my first memories of coming to New York for music.
Years and years ago. We went to Danielle Smith, Elliot Wilson's wife, threw him a birthday party, and we went there, and we met Just Blaze. Like, we were new, we're from a half an hour north of here, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, we were new to living in the city, and we were invited to this party. And so the two of us are, like, screaming Dipset lyrics on
at
the
Just
dance
Blaze.
Floor.
Yeah.
Just is there, and Just knew us, like, online, you mm-hmm. know? He knew, like, he was aware of us. And then we're just like, I don't know, can we exchange, like, information or something like that? And he was like, yeah. And he's like, you should come to Baseline and just hang out. So going into Baseline and being in there for us was, like breathtaking. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, like, when you walk in there, and are you like...
Yeah, I'm looking around. I'm quiet, bro, and I'm looking around. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. I'm just soaking it in, like, don't embarrass yourself. Act like you've been somewhere. But at the same time, it's just like, yo, that's Just Blaze. And that's Young Guru. And, yeah.
Is this anything?
Plaques on the wall. Yeah. Like, where Jay at? That's what I'm thinking.
Is this anything that you can explain to people back home?
No. You know, being from a small country town. And there are people that have been there 60 years who really haven't left. Haven't seen anything out of it. Like, you can't really fathom that when you're from a town like I'm from. Like, you know, and I remember Knife, like, he used to take his friends randomly wherever he went and take us too. And it was always because, like, I want y'all to see this. I want you to see something outside to let you know, like, yeah, this, you can do this. Like, this is what it's like to be here. And that helped, you know, and he was really big on that. Like, I remember he used to say, people question him all the time, like, why are you always bringing people with you so they can see this? Because we don't get to see this. You know, you think about stories about, you know, people in bigger cities, like, they could walk outside their neighborhood and they see, you know, Biggie or Tupac shooting videos. Like, we didn't get that. Like, we sat in front of TV and it was all kind of magical to us because it was on a TV box. Like, I go outside my house and it's the woods and fields and, you know, a deer's outside eating and, yeah.
That sounds nice, though. I mean, no P.D. Pablo.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's so, what it was.
So how does a trip to New York or, like, seeing things outside your town and even outside of your state inform your music?
My passion for it?
No, like, how does it, like,
does it change your voice in any way?
It's life. You're experiencing life, you know, so I definitely go back and I write about being in New York for the first time. Like, you know, if anybody heard the interludes I did on Dream Merchant, there's an interlude where I talk about, you know, skipping through New York. So yeah, like that's what it was for me. Like anything I experienced in some way or form or fashion, I'm gonna put it in the music. So if I went to New York for the first time, I'm gonna talk about it. Yeah. You know, if I went to Baseline for the first time, I'm gonna incorporate it in there. Like if it's special to me in a way. So, but outside of that, like, you know, that's how it kind of influenced my music, I would guess.
Do you think that you you knew your voice at this point?
No, I'm still trying to figure it out. You know,
have you loved? Have you lost? Have you like experienced something to sort of like be able to put into your music that's like defining?
Yeah, how many 45-minute trips in the wrong direction had you been on in this by this point?
Yo, I always get turned around in New York. Yo, I hate having to rewalk blocks, B. That's the worst. I'd be like, man, damn. Like, and you know, like when you on maps and it's so congested, like when you in Times Square, like you could be walking in the wrong direction for it, tell you to turn around forever. Like, yo, but you said had I found my voice? Nah, man. Like, I've always been me to a certain degree, but again, like figuring out tone, and you know, I'm definitely trying to still figure that out. Like, what is the right tone? Like, you know, how do you play with your voice? How do you make your voice an instrument? Like, it sounds so easy, but it's always not easy.
But
like,
even your words.
Words? My words have always been there. It's placement of them. You know, how do you place them within this cadence? Because I was so big on wordplay and metaphors. And, you know, how do you say it in a way that people... it's not boring or it's easy to remember. So that was the thing. Like, I was, and even then, 2011, 2012, like, still trying to figure it out. Like, you can hear me as the years go by and hints of it, but it, nothing was ever consistent. Like, I might give you a Destiny, and it's like, ninth, be like, yo, that's the one. Like, that's where you need to be. And I come back the next day, and I don't do it like that anymore. So it's just like, I would have hints of it, but it wasn't consistent where I could go in and do it every time. It's just like, I figure it out one day, and then the next day, it's like, how the fuck you forget everything that you just learned? And that's what it was. So, you know, it was hints of it, but locking it down, you know, because, you know, in rap camp, I'm in the booth, and it's just like, you know, work on inflection, but also work on breathing, but also work on cadence. So it's just like, I feel like I've gotten one thing, and then it's like, I'm trying to master the next, so I forget the other thing. And that's just where I was. It's like bouncing around these two different things. And now, as the years go by, it's like Knife calls it the Neo effect. Like, you're now Neo. Everything is slowed down to you. And now all the things that I'm telling you to work on and that you practice on, you got them all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you can do it every time because you hear it now. Like, you see the bullets. You see that your patterns, like, you see music and colors. Like, that's what it is.
So around this time, J. Cole is coming up as well.
J. Cole is up.
At this time, he's up?
He's up there. Like, when J. Cole started really hitting the mixtape circuits, and he had just signed a J, but it might not have been announced at the time. This is like around the time I'm in the recording 100 song stage, and I haven't put out my first mixtape. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, and then, you know, J. Cole gets on The Star Is Born, and I'm on like mixtape 2.5 or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. So,
but what does that, you know, mean to you? Like, watching him?
Oh, I mean, it was dope. One, because, you know, he was in the part of the early like mixtape stage where it's like, I don't have to sign this big major label and be on this big radio. Like, I can have a fan base with my mixtapes, you know what I'm saying? So that was just, that made you feel like, yo, I'm working on my mixtape too. Like, if I get 20,000 downloads, maybe I'll be there too, Cole. Like, yeah, you know, that's how you kind of think of it as an artist when you still don't know a lot, like you still wet behind the ears. But it was inspirational to see, you know, his journey, you know, just to be as talented, and the sound that he came out with. This is during a time where snap music was really big. Mm-hmm. But J. Cole at that time was like one of the few people that was really rapping that broke through.
Yeah.
And then he signed to my favorite rapper. I'm just like, dang, I wish that was me. Yeah. You know, how ironic, here we are. But, right. You know, so, you know, it was just dope. And he was from North Carolina.
Well, I was
going
to say, can you talk about that? Like, he's so proud to be from North Carolina.
Yeah, like, anybody from North Carolina is proud to be from North Carolina. Like,
but
I would
Eric's
hope
asking, is J. Cole more proud than you are?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
No. No. He can't be.
Talk that shit.
No. I stayed in North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, Cole.
By the way, have you been to south of the border?
Yeah. Okay. To get fireworks? Yeah, man. I did that as a kid. Like, that was, woo, going to get some fireworks.
We were talking to someone the other day, and they were just like, what? No.
Yeah, we bring this south of the border all the time on this podcast.
I know exactly. Yeah. Like, I remember my first time going, like, oh, like, yo, we're going to south of the border, and you get there, and it looks like Walmart fireworks. Yeah. Just like, why do we drive all this way?
Our grandparents lived in Florida, so we would, like, on, you know, like, winter vacation, we would drive
down.
Well, no, because we would ask our dad.
And he was like, absolutely not. We are not stopping at south of the border. He's like, we don't need another Pedro, like, snow globe.
So one time he was like, you got 5 minutes. And he was like, or else I'm leaving. We're like, all right. But, you know.
So we bought the whole store out. 2013, you put out She Got Game. The cover art is you sitting on the actual basketball rim.
Yep.
How uncomfortable is that?
It wasn't that uncomfortable. It was scary because I was so high up.
Oh, you were actually like, they didn't lower it for you.
No, I got on a ladder and sat up there, and then they pulled the ladder away so they could take the picture. I'm just like, whew. I was like, yo, I look stiff on it. I probably do. Like, you see my arms are pretty locked. I'm like, y'all better get this picture, man. Like,
how long were you up there for? Days.
Yeah.
It felt like eternity. Nah, I was probably up there like 20 minutes, something like that. Changing positions.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. I didn't like the having to get down and get back on and reposition yourself. Like, I don't like heights, man. And that was too much for me. But we did it.
No,
we
God.
Did it.
It's for the
shouts to Cameron. Duke, all my Duke fans.
Yeah. So, I was like, is Cameron the photographer? Like, you know, Cameron Indoor.
Cameron Indoor, yeah.
So, obviously, you've talked a lot about Ninth. Can you talk about
someone else?
Well, you know, no. I want to hear about two people in particular and what they've meant to your career. Young Guru.
Yep.
And Carly Hustle.
Oh, you know Carly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we know everybody.
Yeah. Y'all are popular.
I mean, you know.
Oh, man, Young Guru is just as instrumental as Ninth. You know, those are two big brothers. I remember the first time, like, we had our first sit-down, you know, he told me, like, and it stuck with me, like, he was like, define your line now. Like, what you not going to do, what you know, what your brand is, like, define that early now. Like, I'll never forget that was the first bit of advice. But, you know, they just always been in my corner. Like, you know, the times that he's called me and broke down my rhymes, I'm just like, yo, why is Guru calling me breaking down my rhymes? This is crazy. You know, always the bat, like, whatever you need, like, either one of them is there for me. So he and Ninth are, like, the same person to me in different bodies.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have both really been instrumental in my career, you know, just taking me places and showing me things and giving me advice and championing me on and telling me to be patient. Like, when you have either one of those giving you those talks, like, yo, it's coming, you know, celebrating with you, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, but also, like, don't not give yourself credit for, you know, like, listening and saying, okay, I will, like, you know, let this sort of, like, evolve and mature and everything, because that's a huge thing that not a lot of people do. But Carly Hustle,
haha, that's my girl. Like, I can remember it'd be Twitter. Like, Carly was working at Hot 97 at the time, so, you know, I'm just like, yo, somebody from Hot 97 likes me, they retweeted me, you know, and anybody that follows Carly, like, you know, like, she's really big about supporting women. So, you know, it was just dope. Like, I can remember one of the first conversations we had, and she, you know, she talked about, like, you know, I'm just here to support women, I like your story, I like what you represent, you know. And at one point, you know, she just was so supportive, you know, we brought her on to work with us, you know, and she worked with us for about a year, you know, and now we have Harp, you know, and she's at Apple, but, you know, she's always been big sister. She got me on my first Hot 97, Who's Next, and, you know.
And SOBs.
What was that like? Man, you know, SOBs is legendary. Like, you hear, you know, everybody talk about it, how legendary it is to perform there. So to get Hot 97, Who's Next, is like, yo, they think I'm next. Like, you know, I remember this person was next last year and now they're here. So, you know, it was just, it was another, you know, milestone, I guess, and something, you know, the champion. It's like, yo, keep going. Like, you're chipping away. You're chipping away. So,
were you nervous walking through that crowd? Because, like, with SOBs, you have to walk directly through, like, from downstairs.
Yeah, the green room's downstairs and, like, out of the way.
Mm-hmm. No. It wasn't crazy packed. It was easy to walk through. I will say that. Joint was, if it was shoulder to shoulder, I might have got a little butterfly walk there. I was like,
small victories, right?
Oh, yeah. We got some supporters. We're going to have fun with this. Hey, I'm just skating. Dude.
Everybody move up.
Don't be, come on up. Fill the gaps, you know? So,
did you bring your own DJ for that, or did you have to run?
Knife was there. Wow. Knife was DJing, and Guru was right beside him. So, you know.
That's pretty good.
Those
who
are our leaders.
Who cares who's in the crowd at that point? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we just have fun, man. You know, but New York is hard to perform at. You know, like, they can like you, but they ain't gonna let you know they like you. I was like, man, like, I'm performing my heart away, and I'm like, dang, let me give some more energy, because maybe I can hype them up. And they just like, but I heard, like, as long as they don't boo you or talk while you got them, but at the same, it's so weird. Like, it is so weird performing in New York, but I still love you, New York. So
at what point does Jamla and Roc Nation partner up?
This is 2016, end of February, like right around the Grammys.
Okay. Okay. So.
Well, that's when we got the first initial email, like, yo, we're interested.
And that's Spanish Rand.
Rodriguez. Spanish Rand, you know, he took the idea to Lenny. Lenny was like, go for it. You know, so Spanish Rand reaches out. We build with him and Lenny, you know, for a few months, try to get paperwork together. You know, Guru and Ninth are handling that. And then in July 14th, I think it is.
Is that Bastille Day?
In 2016, yes. That summer, we make it official and we announce at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival.
Crazy.
Who are you telling? Nuts,
wait,
man.
By the way, can we just talk about Randy's actual message to you? Because it's like four lines.
You saw it, huh?
I've seen that before. It's like four lines and it's like, there's typos. It's like, and Randy listens to this podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
But... It's like, ooh, were you like, check, oh, this is like check. A...
Yeah,
this
is like Randy one credit short of graduating?
I'm going to just say he was so excited. You know, he just couldn't contain it. Just typing away.
But were you just like, is this like real? Like, what
no,
were your...
We saw, I think it was Rand. I think he had a Roc Nation email at the time.
Yeah.
So it was definitely real.
See, that's like, how you scam your way into NYU.
Yeah.
Make up a fake email.
We saw that at Roc Nation. It's like, yo, this is official tissue. I think Ninth went to check his Twitter too. So in the Twitter bio, it had Roc Nation. It was like, yo, no, it's real. Like, and you know, I think Goo made some calls, you know, just to make sure, like, Lenny, this your man.
Yeah.
Like, everything was right. Like,
where are we in the timeline with the Kendrick feature?
This was after.
Okay.
After Kendrick.
Can you talk about what it was like to get that phone call?
That joint was crazy. Like, he had hit us up. He called me. Dave called 9th January of 2015, right?
Shout out to Dave Free.
But the year, let me see, January 2015, it was after he did Control Verse. That was the summer of 2013, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, that's
and
when
I know that date because it's an unforgettable time in hip hop.
Definitely, bro. The Control Verse.
Yeah.
You know, it has a wiki page.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm having a She Got Game listening session in New York, and after that I'm going to shoot the Kingship video with DJ Premier. So I'm at Premier shooting a video, and Ninth gets the call from Kendrick, who is in South Africa. You know, Ninth calls him to talk about the Control Verse, but he's like, also like, yo, I'm working on my album. I want to get Rhapsody on it. Like, I got this joint, you know. So I'm
he's
just
like, you're breaking up. What?
You know, Ninth tells me, I'm like, yo, that's crazy, right? So then a year and a half goes by, I don't hear anything else. We don't hear nothing. So I'm thinking like, okay, it's probably not going to happen. He probably had a different idea. It's cool, whatever. So I'm at the Charlotte airport, going to Toronto. Flight gets canceled. I got to take the next one out. So I'm about to get on this shuttle bus to the hotel. And Knife calls me. He's like, are you sitting down? I'm just like, yeah, I'm on this shuttle bus. I'm whispering and shit. But it's quiet, so they can still hear me.
Yeah.
So he's like, Dave just called me. Kendrick is sending instrumental because he wants you to put voice on for his next album. And I think I go, are you fucking kidding me? Shit. And everybody on the bus start laughing and shit. I'm just like, I'm sorry, y'all. Yo, and it was like, wow, because you know the buzz. Like, this is one of the most, if not, it's one of the most anticipated albums ever. Like, his second album is follow up to Good Kid. So I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. But in my mind, I'm like, I never refer to his voice. Like, you know, put some voice on. I'm like, he want a verse, or he want me to do like some ad libs or an interlude? Like, what kind of voice you want? Like, yeah. You want me to play a girl part? Like, I don't give a fuck what you want. Right. I'm just ha ha ka hoo hoo on it. It don't matter. But you know, Kendrick texts Knife the next day, and he's like, you know, they talk about it. And Knife's like, well, here's Rap's number. So I get to Toronto, and he calls me, and we talk about it for all of 2 or 3 minutes. You know, real short. Tells me what it is. Sends the beat a week later. Yeah.
How'd you know what to do?
It was easy. He was like, I got the song is called Complexion. You know, everybody's beautiful. You know, but I really want to talk about, you know, us. And I told him, I think I cut him off. I was like, bro, I already know where you're going with this. Like, you know, we get it. He was like, you know what I'm saying? And that was it. So, you know, I didn't overthink it. I was like, yo, he hit me for a reason. He wants me to do me. So, you know, I got the beat. And again, like, I didn't hear his part. You know, I didn't hear the beat that he rapped on, his verse, anything. He just only sent me my section. So I'm sitting down, and I'm having to tell myself, do not overthink this. Like, because I anybody that knows when I write, I can easily overthink it because I'm a perfectionist. So, you know, I might write 4 bars and then I stop, watch a little bit of Duke game because I could feel myself like, yo, you trying to make this metaphor stick too fucking hard, like you're forcing it. Come back and I write 4 more bars and then it's like, you know, I'm going through old verses like, yo, I didn't use this line, but it fits here. So I'm piecing my verse together from old shit I've written and just off the fly. And I've constructed this verse, and all the verses I do, I record on my phone, voice memos, to see how they sound and play them back to myself. And if I think they're good enough, I send it to Knife. I'm like, yo, what you think? And I sent it to him, and he was like, that's it. I'll be up there tomorrow. Because, you know, I mean, I'm back from Toronto. I'm in D.C. Knife is on the way to D.C. It's his birthday weekend, so we trying to find a studio to record. So, you know, and that's just what it was. Like,
when you sent it to Kendrick, what did he say?
Oh, man, he had Knife back.
Did
first.
He write K? Yeah.
Like, that's the most, like, whatever type of reply you could do. Like, okay, K. Right. Nah, he hit Knife. Like, I remember he hit Knife first, and he was like, yo, that's why she's the only feature on the album. And you know, everybody talks about people they don't like. I want to talk about people that I do rock with. And I remember he hit me next. He was like, you killed it. You know, and I was just like, man, if he loves it, I'm happy. Like, because I was nervous, man. I wanted to do 2 or 3 verses just to make sure it was good. And I was like, nah, I'll send him this. Like,
you want to control, like, wow. Do the control,
yeah,
verse.
Wow. And, yeah. And he actually cut the verse short. It's probably like 8 bars after what it is on the album that I did. But, you know, I didn't know that Black of the Berry came after that. So the way I talked about the game, like, it worked out perfectly. And he was like, it's a trip, like, how on topic that you are and you haven't heard anything. Like, and that's what we said, like, that shit's crazy. So just our energy and how we connect can be nuts sometimes.
And then, okay, so skipping forward, I mean, like, whatever, there's no actual format to this podcast, but but did it mean more to be on his album, for him to ask you to be on his album,
mm-hmm.
and then for you to be there, or for you to ask him to be on your album?
For him to ask me. Because of the moment that it was the most anticipated album at the time. Like, being on his album changed the trajectory of my career. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like one of the biggest moments, you know. So I don't know if I would have got the rock call without that moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he
what
put me on
email,
a whole other
and it was very misspelled.
Email first and call, you know. Cold.
Like I said, only facts in this podcast.
facts. You're very right. Keep me right and honest. I like this. Accountable for my words.
How much of your high school graduating class reached out to you around Grammy time?
Everybody congratulated me, man. Yeah. Everybody.
People,
like,
you're like, I never spoke to you.
Yeah,
like,
no, I spoke to everybody. I remember everybody, too. But people I hadn't spoke to since I graduated, I was like, wow, man, I hadn't heard from you since we moved the tassel over. Yeah, like, yeah. it was just dope, like, you know, because the Grammys reaches everybody. Like, so, you know, it was really dope, man.
You guys partner with Roc Nation. Mm-hmm. What has the last year and a half been like over there?
It's been good for the most part.
How has life changed, like, since partnering up with them?
You know,
get to stay in any of J&B's houses anytime you want.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a key yet, but I did get to hang out one night, so that was dope.
Yeah.
Thanks to Guru. Guru brought me along. I got to tag along. But
wait, did you go? What was the Roc Nation Grammy party like?
Grammy brunch.
Yeah, the Grammy brunch that year.
Yeah.
Was that the Jay and Puff year?
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was fun, man. Yeah. Like, you know, but at this time, you know, like, I'm not so starstruck. You know, I've been around. So it was just dope, though, to be there in that space where everybody feels comfortable just to hang out. Like, Jay's walking around. Kelly and Michelle are here. Like, everybody was there. Like, I met Chris Paul for the first time. So it was just dope. Like, you know, wow, I finally made it to this space. Like, you know, everybody don't get to go in those spaces. So to be invited to the Grammy brunch and, you know, just to feel like you can be a normal person around other people who are just normal people at the end of the day. Like, it was
very
cool.
Special, yeah.
Super special, man. That was like one of the funnest times I've ever had.
That's dope.
But But I mean, the last year and a half with, you know, the Jam the Roc Nation part, it's been beautiful, man. Like, you know, you have your headache times trying to clear samples, but who doesn't go through that? It doesn't matter. But, you know, it's really like a family. Like, you know, I came in and I love what Jay's built. Like, you know, I came in a lot of times. It's like, oh, he just hired all these women. And, you know, everybody's really, you know, supportive of the project. And it just really felt like a family environment. You know, they let us be as creative as we wanted to be, you know. And it didn't hurt that Ninth and Guru already had these relationships. They known Shaka, Lenny S. So, you know, it was just dope. It was just... It fit in. It's like you meet these people and in 2 weeks you feel like you've known them forever. And I've, you know, have friendships now that I know I'll have for the rest of my life. Like, you know, I still come up here sometimes and hang out at the office. Like, artists really don't do that, but like, I genuinely love everybody that's there. So, you know, they're very, really supportive, man. It's just dope. But, you know, those environments are, you know, it trickles down. Like, whatever type of person Jay is, like, you, that's how his company is gonna be ran. So it's, you know, it lets you know, like, yo, an artist really started this. You know, you can feel it, like, it's this way because Jay has been through these things that I've been through. You know, he didn't get signed from a major label when he first started, so, you know, he's really looking out for the artist and what's best for the project. And that's just the environment, and it's cool, man. It's been great.
And so how'd you approach this project then?
When we did the deal, we had been working on the project, like, let me see, for 8 months, maybe? So, you know, we kind of came into it with the project already. It had a good foundation. It was almost done. But, you know, as time went on trying to clear samples, I'm still recording. I'm adding stuff, mm-hmm. like Guru mixing new songs over and over and over again. And it's like, we got another one. It's like, hey, I thought we were about finished. You know, and he's working on 444, and I'm still recording and sending music. And it's like, can you mix my joint after? You know, but it was cool, man. So, yeah, but like I said, like, they let us come in. They didn't, you know, bother the music. You know, I think Shaka gave us, you know, advice on maybe something to try for one interlude. That was the telephone interlude. But other than that, like, they were like, play us the records. We love it. When is it going to be done? Mm. You know, and that's what it is. Yeah. Like, how can we help? What you want to do with it? Like, yeah.
What's your best Busta Rhymes story?
My best Busta Rhymes story, man. Probably just being in the studio with him, joking, like listening to music and watching his reaction, like, cause I love Busta and everybody know he's super animated.
Yeah, he's not a real subtle guy.
Yeah, I remember. I can't remember. It might have been Black and Ugly or something we played. He was like, "It sounds like big whales coming out the water and hitting the water." So every time I see him, I do this thing. I'll be like, "The whales coming." You know what I'm saying? So that was like one of my favorite joints. Like, and we play on the album one time, and then I might go back a month later. He's like, "All right, let me hear it." He look at me. He's like, "This is crazy, Queen." Like, those are my favorite Busta moments. Like, it's just amazing.
When Busta did his like Busta Lude.
Yeah.
In your head, like, did you ever think, like, oh, like, it's sort of like, it's not like this, but, like, on Missy's project, mm-hmm. when he does the intro and the outro.
Uh-huh. Oh, you talking about the Busta Lude.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we referenced when I sent him that beat. You know, we said we wanted to sound like what you did on the Missy joint. And he was like, "Whatever you need, Queen, I got you." I love that he calls me Queen. That shit's so dope. Like, that's exactly, you know, kind of what we were going for. Because, you know, like I tell people, like, everybody's used to Busta, you know, doing what we love Busta for, really anime. I was like, I want to put him on something different, like something more mellow. Like, let's just go left with it. And he killed him. I got that verse back, though. I was like, "Ooh, you nasty. Put your hand up in the air, girl. Like, who you talking to?" Nah, that joint, we definitely went Barry Busta on it. Barry Busta, not Barry White.
Right. Yeah. But so you've really, like, worked with a whole, like, murderer's row of just, like, all lyrical, like, the who's who of,
Black,
like,
Thought,
Joey Badass, Jay Electronica, Mac Miller, like, a whole, like, slew of people. I want to know, like, as my voice cracks, I lost my voice last week, so it's been, like, a weird thing. I'm not just going through puberty now, but I want to know who's somebody that's, like, so far afield that you would be like, "Oh, I want to work with that person."
That's just left field, man. I don't know. I mean, outside of hip hop, I hadn't thought about it. Really,
Natalie Imbruglia.
Who that? Like, I don't know. Who is that?
She's the one who sang that song, Torn. I don't know why it just popped into my head. Doesn't matter.
I don't know that song either. I'm sorry.
It's fine. We're going to cut this.
It's okay. We should leave it.
But I was thinking, like, is there anybody from, like, Atlanta, like, or, like, somebody who's maybe, quote-unquote, not lyrical?
I got you.
Like, how Talib Kweli worked with Lil B. Like, something that's so just, like...
Waka Flocka. You talked about it on the record.
Making that thing clap, baby. Yeah. Clap for me. Rich Homie Quan. I could do something with him. Cardi B. I would do something with Cardi. Like, I think that shit would be dope.
Even though all women rappers hate each other, as I'm sure you've talked about on this press run.
I know.
When every single person probably asks you, "Hey, how come all women don't get along?"
Right.
And then you have to respond as if you speak for all women.
Amen.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Right, yeah.
You're doing so good. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about being a female in hip hop?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
It's never been asked before. That's my favorite part about it. But yeah, I mean, is that whole process frustrating? This, the press run of just like, "Oh, like, let's talk about this."
Female at this point, yes. I've been talking about it since 2010.
It's, and that's when you became a female rapper.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I grew boobs, you know, and they slipped me down the middle. You are a female rapper now. It's like, okay. Yeah, like, I'm so over and tired of talking about that. And it's crazy. Like, you know, those, you can't come up with any other questions. Like, look at this podcast. Y'all have asked me questions that nobody in life has asked me. And I've been doing this now for 7 years. I love you guys.
We love
this
you.
This is amazing.
We're going to exchange numbers.
I know, yeah.
Yes. We're going to double date.
Yeah.
So you can, like, not pick up our phone call because we're not your parents. Talk about Made in America this year.
Oh, man.
So what's the difference between SOBs and, Benjamin Franklin, Parkway.
Those big rocky steps behind humongous stage. You performing with a live band. The rain. You ever performed in the rain?
Actually, Eric was in marching band, and so yes.
Yeah.
You did perform in the rain.
I did, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, okay. You had a bigger band
but
than
I never,
did.
That's right, yeah.
All right, you got me. One up. Just nah, man, that shit was crazy. To be on the main stage, like, it's my first time performing and my first time going, and to be put on the main stage that Jay-Z's going to perform at the next day. You're going to open up the show for that stage. Like, it was amazing, man. You have all these kids who don't really know who you are, but they rocking with you because we're not in New York. So, they're like cool with like, yeah, we fuck with you. Like, we'll let you know. It was amazing, man.
Did you still have Guru and Ninth standing next to you?
Hell yeah. Oh, Guru was back there getting my ear monitors right. Mm-hmm. Though he had a trillion things to do that day, mm-hmm. he stopped everything he was doing to make sure I was good.
How about that?
What was Guru doing besides like taking
he
pictures?
He was mopping the floor. Yeah. It was raining. He was like, yo, you got on heels. I'm not going to let you fall. This is a title event. We don't want you being a meme.
Good looking out. Yep.
So he's like, hey, get the mop. Get this water up. Pull those drums and shit back. It is raining. Like, yeah. So, that was Guru was being the boss man. Yeah. Like, Knife was getting the DJ shit right. Like, they was right there till I finished. He was taking pictures.
Yeah.
As
he does.
Not only is he a manager,
yes,
he's also my photographer.
That's right.
I have one of the best photographers in the world.
No kidding, yeah.
Well, two, I guess, because Lenny S. also.
That's true.
Yes.
I mean, have you sat on the gold couch?
Yes. That was like my welcoming picture to Rock Nation. Welcome, gold couch. Yeah.
Are you a horror movie fan?
No. Well, I take that. I'm not a demonic. Like, if it's horror and dealing with demons and Satan, I don't fuck with that. But, It came out, right? Yeah. People were like, you going to see it? I'm like, no, I don't mess with demons. They were like, he's an alien. I was like, oh, I'll go see it. He's an alien. I never knew. Shout out to Tony Baker. I never knew. So I'll go watch like Scream and It, but anything mm-hmm. dealing with the devil, bruh.
Well, because you have that line about Cujo. And so I was like, oh, Stephen King, like...
He wasn't a possessed dog, though. He was just
trill
as fuck.
He was just a rabid dog.
Yeah, he was gangster. That dog was ill. Hey, have you seen Cujo?
No, I had to look it up.
I don't fuck with dogs to this day because of Cujo, bruh. No lie. Like, terrified.
So, where did you even see that movie? Because it came out in, like, 1981.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly had no idea anything about this movie before.
Like, I had older cousins. Like, it would come on TV. I'd sit and watch it and torture myself.
No.
You have your older cousins like, yo, you want to see Chucky? Yeah. It's like, okay, you want to be brave. I ain't scared. And you can't sleep at night. That's the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what? You're our dog now. So, yes. Shout out to all of us.
That's right. I'm your dog. Cujo ain't got shit on me, bruh.
Listen, your new project's amazing. Your career has been amazing. Like we told you when we saw you at your listening party, like the patience you've exhibited, your process that you've undertaken has been amazing. It's not bad for a girl who started out as a cashier to sign that Rock Nation check and cash out,
Giving out free groceries to the homies.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for coming up here.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been amazing.
And shout out to accountants.
Yeah.
Hold it down for us that didn't make it.
Shout out to Ralph. Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us, we're It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to find out more of what we're up to on a daily basis, where can people go?
You can always ask our doorman. He usually has a pretty good read of what we're up to. not, I mean, he's not, like, in our apartment, but, like, he sits downstairs. Anyway, right. You can always find us online at twitter.com/itsthereal. We are also on Instagram at itsthereal, Facebook at itsthereal. You want to listen to any of our old episodes of our podcast, go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. We are also on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Spell our name right. It is I-T-S-T-H-E-R-E-A-L. No apostrophes, no spaces.
Jeff, if people want to listen to our music, where can they go?
You can go on Spotify, listen to Teddy Bear Fresh, our album, with guest appearances by everyone from Currency to Smoke Dizza to
Bun B and
Ige,
Angie Martinez,
Combat Jack,
Jazz Cartier.
There's a bunch of people on there. Also, Eric and myself are on there.
Jeff, do you know that Sugar High, our song with Currency and Smoke Dizza right now, has topped 351,000 plays?
I did not. This is the first time I'm hearing that. How exciting.
Well, people should go listen to it. Press play on Spotify. Do your boys a favor and press play.
You can find us on soundcloud.com/itsthereal for all of our original music.
Jeff, you know that this podcast isn't growing unless we tell our friends to tell their friends to tell their friends, and it definitely starts with us. So who would you like to shout?
I want to shout out our friend who we have never met, but we have definitely talked to a few times.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to our friend Irene out in Los Angeles, who has offered to take us out for tacos a million times, and finally we are going to make it happen. We are out there on November 2nd.
Irene, we're looking forward to it. That'll be a Thursday, right? November 2nd is a Taco Thursday.
Taco Thursday.
I, Jeff, would like to shout out some friends that we have not met in person, but who are active supporters of us whenever we do our Instagram Live. I'm talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Great name.
I'm talking about Xandra Bullock.
Great name.
Tyler C's up there in North Idaho.
Not a really great name, but, like, you know, it's a good name that his parents gave him.
Well, yes. Well, how about Community Experiment Podcast?
That's a better name.
That's a better name. Shout out to everybody who joins us on a semi-regular basis on our Instagram Live. Our Instagram again?
It's The Real.
It's a really simple thing.
So it's not just the N-word.
No, it's not. White people.
Yeah.
Don't use the N-word. Guys, we're really appreciative of everything, especially spreading the word about our upcoming show in Los Angeles. November 2nd, go to itsthereal.com right now for tickets. Not for real, for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys next week.